genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brains.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. We're live every day, Monday through Friday, from 10 o'clock to 11, or you can hear us streaming over the Internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in entertainment, business, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and our theme in the second hour is business and making money. Each of my guests will explain some aspect of business or how we can make money. It's nearly tax day. My first guest is an historian who will give us the history behind income taxes in America from his book, The Interesting History of Income Tax. And I'll be asking him what makes income tax so interesting. My second guest is a serial entrepreneur and inventor. He holds more than 15 patents, and he started more than 10 companies. He's considered an internet entrepreneur. We'll discuss why being an entrepreneur is the most secure job position you can have during difficult economic times from his book, Confessions of a Compulsive Entrepreneur and Inventor. My third guest is an authority on business change management. She is considered an articulate advisor to men and women seeking to reach their top of performance. We'll discuss finding a mentor to guide us in our careers from her book, Skills for Success. And as always, if you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. William Federer is a nationally known speaker, best-selling author, and president of Amerisearch Incorporated, a publishing company dedicated to researching America's noble history. A former U.S. congressional candidate, Bill has appeared on hundreds of radio and television interviews, and he's been referenced in numerous print publications. His American Minute radio feature, recalling events of American significance on the date that they occurred, is broadcast daily across the country and read by thousands on the Internet. As we count down the day to the time to income tax days, we'll discuss his book, The Interesting History of Income Tax. And I guess we'll start, Bill, with the very first question of what makes income tax so interesting?
Well, first of all, April 15th is the day that Lincoln died in 1865, the date the Titanic sank in 1912, and it's the date that taxes are due. It's interesting. One of the reasons we rebelled against the King of England was taxes. After the French and Indian War, the British thought they needed to leave troops on American soil and make us pay for them. And we didn't like that. And Isaac Backus spoke in the Massachusetts Assembly in 1775, "Is not all America now appealing to heaven against the injustice of being taxed? We are persuaded that an entire freedom from being taxed by civil rulers is not a mere favor from men, but a right granted us by God," and so forth. So in the Declaration of Independence, it says right there that The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of usurpations with the goal of setting up a tyranny. He's given assent to imposing taxes on us without our consent. So that was the cry, no taxation without representation. We had no representative in Parliament, so they would just be passing down these big tax increases and so forth. So the first government in America, called the Articles of Confederation, gave no power to the federal government to have an income tax. It was called the Articles of Confederation. And then the first constitution, well, obviously the one we have today, Article 1, Section 9, says the federal government shall have no capitation or other direct tax. So again, no federal income tax. You say, well, how did the federal government support itself? Well, through excise taxes on tea, tobacco, salt, and so forth, and tariff taxes. It's this idea that John Marshall, the fourth Supreme Court justice, he said the power to tax is the power to destroy. So in other words, you tax what you want to kill, and you give tax breaks to what you want to encourage. And so we wanted to discourage people from buying imports. So we taxed them, and then we wanted to give a tax break to businesses in our own country. And this was one of the problems that led up to the Civil War, because the South didn't have any factories to protect. So the tariffs just made it so that they had to buy more expensive stuff from northern factories or more expensive stuff from the European imports. And so, obviously, when South Carolina refused to collect the tariffs, 90% of our federal government was financed by tariffs, and they mostly were paid by the southern states. And so after the Lincoln, by the way, pushed through a temporary income tax to pay for the Civil War, but it was repealed in 1873. So no income tax in our Constitution, and no income tax again after 1873. They tried pushing through a peacetime income tax in 1892, but the Supreme Court declared it unconstitutional. So there's no emergency, and besides, any legislation that discriminates based on race, religion, or economic status is class legislation and leads to abuses. Anyway, there was no income tax again until Woodrow Wilson, 1913. Woodrow Wilson thought that tariff taxes between countries caused wars, one country taxing the imports from another country. So Woodrow Wilson thought if we could get rid of all tariffs, we would have world peace. And so he reduced our tariff income and said, well, what are we going to replace it with? An income tax. And the original income tax was a 1% tax on the top 1% richest people. It was just to go after those terrible rich people, the Rockefellers and Carnegies and J. Paul Gettys. Well, they were smart enough to start the Rockefeller Foundation, Carnegie Foundation, and so they didn't pay taxes anyway. They just sheltered it in these foundations. But it effectively drove money out of factories into these nonprofits. And then World War II started. Franklin Roosevelt passed the biggest tax increase in American history, and this extended taxes to most of the country, to the common people, and this began outsourcing. So when you squeeze the sponge, the water goes out. When you raise taxes on those who have the ability to invest and create jobs, guess what? They invest and create jobs in other countries. And so when John F. Kennedy became the president, Kennedy's, what I did is I read through every one of his addresses, and he was only in office for 1,000 days. And over again, Kennedy talks about how we rebuilt Germany and Japan with brand new equipment, and they were producing stuff more efficiently and taking away our jobs. And so Kennedy said it's of the utmost urgency that we give tax cuts to businesses and corporations on American soil so they can retool their machines, modernize their equipment so our workers can have the best tools. And he said if we give tax cuts to people, they'll spend it and the factories will have to hire more workers to meet the increased demand and we'll get rid of unemployment. So Kennedy said this in 1962, every dollar released from taxation that is spent will help create a new job and a new salary, and these new jobs and new salaries will create other jobs and other salaries for an expanding American economy. And over and over again, he says, lower rates of taxation will stimulate the economy. And he says, the most urgent thing we can do to turn the economy around is to cut taxes. Over and over again, just 60 years ago, you had a Democrat president with a stimulus plan that was cutting taxes. So it's different than what we have today.
It is very interesting that most people forget JFK was a tax cutter, and we didn't have tax cutting again until President Ronald Reagan as well. We're talking to Bill Federer, author of book, The Interesting History of Income Tax, and I have to say he's one of the few people that can make the subject of income tax interesting, particularly as we count down to the deadline for paying this year's income taxes as well. Bill, I'm going to ask you to turn your attention away maybe from the history of this a little bit and expand on this idea of the income tax. We know that it started in 1913. And back in 1913, the IRS tax code was 14 pages long. I mean, and remarkable. When you consider today, it is 6,000 pages long and over 500 million words in the tax code today. How can something that is so negatively ingrained in our American psyche, that the idea of paying taxes, grow to such an out-of-control document and out-of-control policy that we have today?
Yeah, it's interesting. 300,000 trees have to be cut down just to print all the tax forms. It's one of those situations where it's a philosophy, and there's three different philosophies for taxation. The first one, when our country was founded, was that you had taxes to pay for legitimate government expenses, which were a navy, which were defense, which was guarding the borders. So the Constitution says, it says that the first purpose of the federal government is to secure the common defense. And so the main reason there were taxes was to support our military, to support our defense, and to secure the borders. But in the early 1800s was this second idea for taxation called economic engineering, where the government would do this thing of giving tax breaks and increasing taxes. And so they would tax things they didn't want, like they would tax slaves, they would tax carriages and these items. But the third idea for taxation was social engineering. And after the Civil War, you had lots of immigrants, and you had factory owners like the Rockefellers and Carnegies and the J. Paul Gettys and the Pullman Railroad Factory. And Rockefeller embraced evolution. He said that species can evolve, and so, you know, laws can evolve, and he said it's survival of the fittest. It's called social Darwinism, and he says, you know, we're factory owners, we're on top of the pile, and the factory workers are less, and so there was this animosity growing. There was a whole lot of immigrants that worked in these factories that wait a second, we want to take money from the rich, and so Karl Marx's idea was popularized, this idea of every man according to his ability to every man according to his need, and so this was this push to take the money from the wealthy. It was first, believe it or not, a Republican, Teddy Roosevelt, that pushed through the inheritance tax because only the extreme wealthy had inheritances. You know, Rockefeller, by the way, became the richest man in the world through underhanded type means. He had the railroad ship his oil cheaper so he could sell it cheaper and put all the competitors out of business. Then he would raise the price of oil through the roof and give a kickback to the railroads. And this is what Teddy Roosevelt was against. He was wanting to, these were like George Soros's, you know, I mean, these were guys that were immensely powerful. And so Teddy Roosevelt took him on. But you began to see this, another Republican was Taft. He pushed through the corporate income tax and 2% tax. And then finally Woodrow Wilson pushed through the direct tax. And that's when they had to change the Constitution with the 16th Amendment, which there's questions if it was passed correctly and so forth, because it was like everybody's home for Christmas and so forth. But nevertheless, it's there. And so this social engineering of taking from one group of people and giving to another became a manipulated thing throughout the years. And so one of the concerns is a group of people that has a constituency that's poor and that votes them in, they, in a sense, want to keep that people dependent so they'll keep voting. And so they want to make sure, in a sense, that that group doesn't ever rise above their economic situation. That's why your next guest on entrepreneurship, I feel, is so important, because that is the real key.
That is.
But one of the things I like looking at is, where is our money going? And a lot of people find it interesting that $770 million of our tax money is going to build mosques in other countries. That's right, Hillary Clinton's U.S. State Department. That 27 countries in Azerbaijan and Egypt and Bulgaria, we, the U.S. taxpayers, are building mosques. So we have a thing called separation of church and state, but evidently it's not separation of mosque and state. And
well,
a lot of people are concerned about this, because why are we doing this? Well, it's to have them like us. Well, number one, it doesn't seem to be working. But number two, it's reminiscent of during the Jefferson's reign as president, the Muslims were capturing our American ships, and we were paying 20% of our federal budget to these Barbary pirates to appease them so that they wouldn't attack us. And Jefferson got fed up and sent in our Marines. That's where we
shores of Tripoli.
Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. But that's this idea of paying your enemies so that they will like you and not attack you. It's almost like we're positioning ourselves as losers, and we're back under tribute again.
We're talking to Bill Federer, everybody. We're talking about, obviously, a very charged, emotional subject, income taxes. He's the author of the book, The Interesting History of Income Taxes. Bill, one quick question on our income tax system back here in the United States. When did paycheck withholding begin on income taxes?
That's interesting. That was an emergency effort during World War II to get money to fight Hitler. So the next time you get your paycheck and you see the money taken out, you're thinking, where did this idea come from? Well, it came from, it was called the pay-as-you-go tax. When FDR raised the taxes, at the end of the year, all of a sudden people had to pay this huge amount. Nobody wanted to pay it. And so Beardsley Rummel, who was the chairman of Macy's department store, pushes through this idea that you take a little bit out of everybody's paychecks. And if you pluck the chicken slow enough, it won't scream. But this is John F. Kennedy. He gives this speech. He says, in meeting the demands of war finance, so we're talking about World War II, the individual income tax moved from a selective tax imposed on the wealthy to the means by which the great majority of our citizens participate in paying. Kennedy goes on to say in 1961, our system of combined withholding and voluntary reporting, I love that word voluntary, voluntary reporting on wages and salaries under the individual income tax has served us well, introduced during the war, World War II, when the income tax was extended to millions of new taxpayers. The wage withholding system has been one of the most important advances in our tax system in recent times. So there's been this comparison, this connection of wartime and income tax. So the first income tax was the Civil War, Lincoln. It was repealed in 1873. Then the permanent income tax, World War I with Woodrow Wilson. And then FDR raising the income tax. And then it was John Maynard Keynes who came up with the idea of the more you make, the more they take, this progressive income tax. Keynes thought that if you have too many dollars chasing too few goods, it would cause inflation. So you needed a way to pull dollars out of the money supply, and so he came up with this progressive income tax. It might have worked on a chalkboard, but he's also the one that came up with debt-stimulated economy, the idea that you have the government go in debt to spend money in the private sector to create jobs, and the jobs will pay off the debt. Unfortunately, nobody wants to pay off the debt, and now in the last 30 years, we've gone from the largest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation.
There we have. And we've been talking to Bill Federer, everybody, author of the book, The Interesting History of Income Tax. Bill, you've got so much good information to share. If people want to learn more, they like the sound of your voice, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
AmericanMinute.com is my website, AmericanMinute.com. I send out a free daily email called The American Minute. So AmericanMinute.com.
TheAmericanMinute.com. Bill, it is always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Billy.
Thank you.